This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Mary, Did You Know?
I've kind of begun a series on the different folks who are mentioned in the scripture surrounding the first advent, the birth of Jesus Christ. And last week we started with somebody very, very, not so very well known, Simeon, who was waiting all the time for what the Old Testament prophesied about the coming of Messiah. And there are over 300 prophetic verses in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. I don't know if you realize that. And so many of them were fulfilled in and around his first advent, his birth. And so Simeon waited, believing. He may have doubted from time to time, and he was maybe wondering, I've lived a long time with these promises in my heart. I've lived a long time in anticipation and expectation. And so far, God hasn't answered my prayers. But I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep praying, and above all, I'm going to keep on believing. Such was the lesson from the life of Simeon to you and to me. But this morning, I want to cover somebody who is key in the understanding of the birth of Jesus Christ. Somebody from whom we may learn a number of lessons, and somebody who is very well known around the world, known to Roman Catholics, known to those who are not Roman Catholic, known to even the Muslim world, and known to the world around it. It is the person who gave birth to Jesus, for whom there are over 19 references in the New Testament. I'd like to begin by reading the text this morning that speaks about Jesus' mother Mary. It's found in Luke chapter 1. It's verses 26 through 38. And I'd like you to stand with me as we read them together. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Luke 1:26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You may be seated. I don't think a lot of people realize, everybody kind of realizes that Joseph came from a very royal lineage. He was ancestor from kings, and so was Mary. But neither Joseph nor Mary received any material or social status gained from that lineage. Nobody came across them and said, Wow, hey, this is great. You guys realize you're both great, 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 great. How far greats go back? Grandfather was king? I don't think anybody did that. In a day of gender inequality, Mary and Joseph are equals in their family tree and in their poverty. She lived in Nazareth, a nothing town on the border of the heathen world. What was she doing when the stranger appeared? Drawing water from a well? Doing the wash? Praying or just daydreaming? And suddenly there he is. You're looking more angelic every day, James. Verse 26 tells us the angel Gabriel, a messenger from heaven, he's carrying a message from God to Mary.
Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women.
In a day when women are not highly favored nor esteemed, this greeting is meant to elevate, express value, raise the esteem and dignity of the person to whom they are spoken.
I'm scared. He can't be speaking to me. I'm a nobody. Worse, I'm a sinner, and he's telling me I'm highly favored by the Lord. I'm confused by his words. I don't know what he means.
Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.
But how can this be? I am a virgin.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah!
Amen.
I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.
And then the angel left. Ever since he's gone to Maryland, he's become pretty exuberant. This innocent teenager faces many challenges going forward. What if nobody believes her story? What if a fiancé abandons her? What if he does abandon her? She faces life as a poverty-stricken single mom with an illegitimate baby. Sexual promiscuity was punishable by death according to religious law. She would be an outcast in her own country. Her family would be disgraced. All of that stood in front of this young woman. Overwhelming issues with serious consequences. And what do you think Mary's reaction is? Well, Luke 1:47, my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Here is confidence born out of a daily walk with God, not just a Sabbath visit each Saturday to the synagogue. You can't develop this kind of Christian character by being a Sunday morning Christian and put Christ on the back burners of the rest of your week. She was serious about her faith in Father God. It's an intimate prayer life. It's study and meditating on God's word. It's connecting each week with other believers in the church. It's a lifelong process in the school of continuing Christian studies that is lived out on life's proving grounds. It's every day in every way that you and I live out our faith through the good times and the bad times, to the times when we're up on a mountaintop and the times when we've crashed down into the valley, hit our head on the rocks of life. It's when we've been tested and when we've been tried that our testimony shines bright for what it is that Jesus has promised to do. And that's what he did in the life of Mary. In her relatively short life, Mary had developed a deep faith with deep roots in the things of God. As we trace Mary's life through the New Testament, we discover she'll need all the strength, all the courage, and all the peace her faith in God can provide. In addition to the blessing of bearing the Christ child, Mary is blessed with a godly husband. Husband and wife, family. Think about it. In a day in which fathers are delegated and downgraded and made to feel and look silly, in a time when men are not respected as godly, Mary had a godly husband. Choose well your spouse. Choose someone who is a godly person, a follower of Jesus Christ. Seek these things first, and all the rest will follow. Joseph has begun and begun a new life. He's been given the same news that Mary was given by the same angel, by Gabriel. He's been told of the miraculous birth, and he's been told that he's got challenges going forward as the legal father of the Messiah. All of the wealth in the world cannot compare to what it means to have a happy family. The Salt Lake City News wrote this article. Quote, the health and well-being of children depends on having stable married parents. Kids born to single mom are more prone to poverty, drugs, and single motherhood than are children of traditional families. You see, God created families. God created a man and a woman to be together for the rest of their lives. God created that special, precious relationship, symbolic of what it means to be the church, married to the Lord Jesus Christ and serving him faithfully, day after day, week after week, and giving of ourselves. Marriage is about giving. Marriage is about forgiving. Marriage is about caring and loving and speaking that love. And so it is that faithfulness in marriage that we see how Christ wants us to live out our lives as Christians and in relationship to one another. Joseph, Mary, and the soon-to-be-born baby are family together. They will face life with its joys, disappointments, challenges, and heartbreaks. Let me give you a few sprinkling of both. Challenge. Joseph's pregnant wife will travel to Bethlehem, their hometown, to register for higher taxes. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Taxes keep going up. Joy, as Mary gives birth to baby Jesus and they watch the world come to worship him, from lowly shepherds to the elite science of men of science, the wise men. Another challenge, when they heed the warning of the angel of the Lord to flee to Egypt to avoid state-sponsored mass murder of all male babies in an attempt to find and kill the person who was the Messiah. From the very beginning, Jesus has been attacked by the world. Even as a baby, even as a child, even as an infant, he's under attack. And so they had to flee to Egypt. Disappointment. As Mary and Joseph watched their children reject their half-brother, Jesus claims to be the Messiah. And the same rejection came to the people Jesus came to seek out, the Jewish people. Can you imagine being in a family where you don't believe anything your sibling is speaking about? Can you believe not to believe what Jesus said to his brothers and sisters when he pointed out to them that he was the Messiah and he showed them the works that he did and the life that he led? He was living a sinful life, a sinless life. Can you imagine seeing the way he lived and not believing what he said? I don't know about you. I had a brother. I didn't live a sinless life. My brother and I got into constant battles. I wasn't the kind of person you could hold up, but Jesus was. You could believe what he said, but they didn't. Heartbreak, as Mary watches the man who 33 years ago she had given birth to, and now she watches him stand before a kangaroo court and be accused and then tried and then felt guilty of things he never did wrong. They had false witnesses there. They paid people to speak out against Jesus and lie about him. Mary saw that. Mary saw them take Jesus off the trial stand and bring him into a courtyard where they beat him. Can you imagine seeing and standing and watching somebody you love with all your heart being beaten with whips, being spit upon, being cursed, being called all kinds of nasty names? What would you be feeling? How would you be thinking? Imagine what his mother felt like as she watched that. And then she saw him go through the streets of Jerusalem carrying his own instrument of death, the cross, falling on his knees, falling on his face, standing up. And then in my imagination, I think I hear her son say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That would touch my heart even more than the beatings. Then she watched him as he hung on that cross, the one who did no wrong, the one who lived exemplary life, the one who only tried to help people, who healed the sick and the lame and the deaf and the blind. And there he was, crucified among criminals. She had heartbreak. Without the strength and comfort of her husband Joseph, who had previously died prior to this event, where did Mary get the inner strength to get through this unspeakable anguish? It came from that first Christmas, Luke 2:19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them, means she hid them in her heart. What Mary experienced that first Christmas, the things she saw and heard, they changed her forever. When Jesus comes into a person's life, they are changed forever. You've been changed forever since you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mary's miraculous birth of God in the flesh, not only the Savior of the world, He was Mary's Savior as well. One of the things that Mary says in her prayer is, Jesus, my Savior and my God. She needed a Savior just as much as you did and I did, but God chose her. An ordinary person just like you and just like me. There was nothing special about Mary. But God looked down upon her and said, I choose you. From among the millions in the population, I choose you and your husband. That transformative truth transformed her life. From Luke's account of the birth of Christ, we glean invaluable lessons from Mary's life. Number one, Luke 1:28. Regardless of who you are, in God's eyes, you have great value and great worth. Some people are really down on themselves. Some people have no confidence. Some people are filled with anger. And some people are filled with fear. Some people are overcome with loneliness. Some people are in bondage to addiction. Some people are negative, always thinking the worst. Regardless of where you are in your walk, God considers you someone worth loving. Some people have a very poor self-image of themselves and think nobody loves them and nobody cares for them. But there is one who cared so much for you that he gave his life for you. How much love is that? Could you ever expect anybody to do anything like that? In some cases, you feel so unloved, you can't even get a hug from anybody. I remember when I was up at Hagedorn Hospital, and I've told you the story on numerous occasions, and I didn't know exactly the way the Lord wanted me to deal with the patients up there as a chaplain. And one of the things the Lord told me to do was to hug the patients, ask them if I could give them a hug. And I remember hugging this one woman, and she was a little scary to me. She had no teeth. She put her lipstick on like this. She first rubbed it in her palm, and then she smeared it across her face. And I was only there about 2 or 3 weeks in a psychiatric hospital. This was kind of a little much for me. And I said to her, may I give you a hug? She looked at me. She said, yeah, Reverend. I gave her a hug. And after my session with them was over, before everybody left, she raised her hand. Reverend, can I say something? I said, sure. She said, when I walked in here, you gave me a hug. And nobody's hugged me in 12 years. And that confirmed that hugging is part of ministry. When was the last time somebody outside of this room gave you a hug and let you know that you were loved? Well, the Holy Spirit's hugging you and loves you and wants you to know that God loves you so much that He gave Jesus. Secondly, Luke 1:31, life in the womb is sacred and precious. You know, we stand counterculture. People condemn us for our view about life in the womb. People misunderstand what that is in the body. And it's a precious gift from God. Now we know that any child who dies in the womb or dies outside of the womb, any young person who does not know the difference between right and wrong, if they are to perish, they would go home to be with the Lord. We know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's what Paul teaches us. That where there's no law, sin is not imputed. So we know that these young people who are being aborted are in heaven. But think about the devastation on their mothers. Think about what women who have had an abortion go through. Not forgiving themselves. Waking up hating themselves. Wondering if God could ever forgive them. And I will say this again and again and again. God loves you. And God has forgiven you if you confess it. And the Lord will stand by you and He will encourage you. And someday, Mom, you're going to meet your child. Number three, Luke 1:35, miracles still happen. You know, Jesus' birth is a miracle. He was born of a virgin. Scientifically impossible. The scripture is very replete in the book of Matthew with all the ways in which God tries to communicate the fact that she did not have intimate relationships with her fiancé. She did not have intimate relationships with her husband until Jesus was born. She was a virgin up until that time. And the Old Testament book, it says, a virgin shall give birth, a virgin shall give birth to a child. And she'll call his name Jesus. Promised 750 years before Jesus came. It's a miracle. And God, our God, is the God of miracles. And do you need a miracle in your life this morning? Do you need a miracle of God's forgiveness? Do you need a miracle of God's love? Do you, you need a miracle of God changing your mind and changing your attitude of letting you feel his presence this morning? Do you need a miracle this morning in your life to take away the fear and the anxiety that you may be going through or the stress you may have? You know, to get rid of those things, to expiate those things out of your heart and mind, it sometimes takes a miracle because we can get so overwhelmed with the things that are on us that we can feel it's so heavy a weight that we can't possibly lift it. And God says to you, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Let me give you the miracle of forgiveness. Let me give you the miracle of love. Let me give you the miracle of confidence in your Savior and encouragement along your way. Those are miracles too. Luke 1:37, with God nothing is impossible. Luke 1:38, the only place to be in life is in God's will. What's God's will for your life? What's God's plan for your life? What's God's plan for you? How will you use the gifts that God has given you? This is supposed to be a place inside these walls where the church meets, inside the meeting house where the church lives and goes beyond these doors to a mission field is where you get the opportunity to utilize your giftedness and share your gifts with us and the world, to share your love with us and the people outside of the box. They want love. They need love. They need a hug. They need to know somebody cares about them. And when they see Jesus caring for them through you, they will be drawn to him. Luke 2:16, God honors and blesses marriage and the family. We here in this congregation, we're so blessed to have people who have been so married so long, 60 years and more than that in so many cases. You're a blessing to us. And if you've been married 20 years, you're a blessing to us. And 15 years, and if you just got married, you're a blessing to us. You encourage us. You show us that marriage is still viable in 2018 when the voices outside this place keep telling us, you don't need to be married, just live with each other. Well, what happens when you no longer feel like living with each other? There's a thing called marriage. And the thing that binds marriage together is a loving commitment, not just to live with each other, but to love with each other and to care for one another and to go through life together until you no longer live. And it's a wonderful thing to be married to the same person for a long period of time and to get to know all the things in that person's life and they know all the things in your life and you have shared memories and shared experiences. It's pretty wonderful. And Luke 2:10-14, circumstances in life may not be fair, but God is good all the time. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this. There's hardly a person in this room who's not going through some circumstance or challenge, something in your life that from time to time is shaking you. We all go through that time. And I want to tell you that regardless of what you go through, God is there with you. If you believe that promise, like Simeon believed the promise the Messiah would come, if you believe that God will never leave you and never abandon you, and you can trust him to get you through whatever it is you're going through in life, if you can trust him for that, he'll get you through. How do I know? The Bible tells me so. How do I know? I've experienced it in my own life. How many of you have gone through hard times and felt the presence of the Lord and knew he was with you and you got through it? Look at the hands. You've seen God get you through stuff. By the way, are you people telling the truth? Yeah. It's the truth. They're not just raising their hands because everybody else did. The people in the front don't know who raised their hand. By the way, there was just two of them behind you. Go back. There's only two. Everybody raised their hand, just about. You've seen God at work in your life. He can get you through. Did Mary know all these things? Mary didn't know what her future was going to be. She didn't know the heartache that was going to come. But Mary believed what the angel told her. I often wonder, beside the few things I brought to your attention, what did Mary know? There's a lovely song, and I'm going to close with that song. Mary, did you know?
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.